sometimes, well, when we hear new ideas, even old ideas, for them to really become part of us, we need to meditate, we need to think about them. And so, you know, sometimes I get home from church and I think, I know God was speaking, I know this is something I need. Oh no, I didn't write this down. So I'm giving you the chance to write it down in the beginning, and then you can just listen from then on. Pastor Sue and Harvey have been talking about inner healing and the threshing floor, and we've been doing that for a few weeks. And what the Lord was bringing to mind for me last night is that trust is the basis of any relationship. The psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you, you know, the first thing that a baby does, the first thing that a baby learns is how to trust. They're seeing, okay, are you going to come and get me in the middle of the night when I cry? Can I trust you to take care of me? And in the first 2 years of life, you know, that's really what their focus is on. And if that is violated, and it is for all of us to some degree, but if that is majorly violated, people have a hard time having interpersonal relationships. And this is a relationship church, the Lord has told us. And that is the foundation of relationship, is trust. And so I think that the Lord is after trusting, teaching us to trust Him, and healing us where we haven't been able to trust Him. And so I think that's where we're going with this. Do you trust me? So first let me give you those scriptures that I told you about. The main passage that I want to focus on today is Philippians 4, 4 through 8. But some other verses that I'll be mentioning are Hebrews 13, 15, Psalm 116, 17, Revelation 6, 1 and Joel 1, 15. Joel 1, 15. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. And then some chapters that you can look over. Numbers 11, actually that's Numbers 11, 1 through 3. Numbers 14, 16, and 17, and 21. You can copy them later for me. Those are chapters. 14, 16, 17, and 21. Nope, that's it. I don't know where. Okay. So, what God is after is the question, do you trust me? And our response will give him glory and praise in heavens, or it can give room for the enemy to work. And I think what God is going after in us is complaining. Because I feel like He really wants us to come into His presence. And Psalm 100 verse 5 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And I know that there's a difference between those two, but I'm kind of clumping them together like the verse does. So if we cannot thank God and praise God, I think the opposite of that is complaining.
Yep.
And so if coming into His presence requires this thankfulness and this praise, and we are entering into a spirit of complaining, or that spirit is entering into us, then we are giving room for the enemy to do his work. I've seen that when I felt the presence of the Lord, a lot of times it's in the context of worship, in the context of praise, in a group of people. So there's all these people focusing on the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking Him, and wow, His presence comes. There's a group dynamic there that brings a lot of power, and the welcoming of Him coming in. So that worship atmosphere, if you will, coming in and just being so sweet. But the opposite is also true. When you are in a complaining environment, you can almost feel it. It's a negative, it's a yuck. And when we have complaining in our hearts, it's like we're in an environment where the enemy can work. There can be other spirits that can come in. Anger is a big one. Anger, I guess, I think is the main one that I've thought of, but I'm sure that there's others. It's kind of like if, you know, you think about fish, and there are some fish that can live in salt water and some fish that can live in fresh water, and they can't switch waters. And if you've got salt water, you're not going to have the freshwater fish in there. And that's kind of the idea that I got with this complaining or praise. Which is it going to be? Are we going to praise God and let the fresh water of the atmosphere that we allow around us to be filled with His presence? Or are we going to invite the enemy to come and work in our lives? So complaining is I think what really ushers a lot of that.
Yep.
A lot of that in. And this is something that God has been working on me for, I don't know, like 18 years or so. I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life or if maybe you're like this, but I grew up kind of making a bond with people through complaining. Like I was able to be real with them, you know, tell people how I really felt. And if you didn't complain, you were just faking it. Because I knew something was bothering you. So I went to Ecuador as a missionary for a year through a college course, through a college program. And the missionaries did not complain. I mean, there were many other things that were hard about our relationship, but that was a really good thing that I learned there. They did not complain, and I thought, what is wrong with you? You're not telling me how you really feel. You're just hiding what you're feeling. You're just pretending nothing's wrong. There are major things wrong here. Can't you see? There's this, there's this, there's this, there's this. And, you know, being in a different culture, you're going to find a lot of things that just don't click with you. You know, you've got to wait for the bus. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. It's different. It's hard. It's not the way it should be, you know. We have our ideas of the way things should be. And of course, people in other cultures don't necessarily agree, but they wouldn't complain about that. And I thought, what's wrong here? But it was really what was right. Because even though they might feel those things, they were not letting their mouths enter into that sin, really. They weren't giving the enemy their mouths to complain with. And that was really, really good. But yeah, I think it's kind of funny that God would have me speaking this. And I think that's something that we've learned too, is that You know, when God has a call on your life, the enemy is going to do just the opposite in your life to try and change or try and affect what you are able to do for him. If he's called you to preach, he's going to get you to not want to speak. If he's called you to worship and lead in worship, he's going to cause you to do the exact opposite. To be a complainer. And we can... Thank you, Pastor Harvey. Well, it's very foundational. And, you know, you go through the script, and I couldn't believe this. You know, I had heard people before. I was still in the Baptist camp, and we didn't talk a lot about praising them. And I had heard a lot of people who believed in the things of the Spirit talk a lot about praise, and I thought, you know, that's just a lot of emotionalism. That's just a lot of hoop-de-doo. I don't understand where this was. I had just recently, right before I went to Ecuador, I talked with some people about, they had said, I really am understanding what praise is about. And I thought, what are they talking about? Praise, you know? You sing some songs on Sunday, that's it. And, I mean, they had avoided a rape and a murder in their home. By just starting to praise the Lord, someone had come into their house, had a gun to the man's head, and was going to hurt the wife, and they started singing praise to God. And the people freaked out and left. I mean, this was
Amen. Praise
as a weapon.
Amen.
And I was like, that was so completely foreign to me. So, yeah, praise is very, very big. It is all throughout the Scripture. But you know what? Praise and complaining... Okay, that is a big issue, but there's a deeper issue, and that's what I feel like the Lord wants to deal with today, and that's, do you trust me? Because if we can praise the Lord, even in the midst of difficulties, when we don't understand, when we don't have all the answers, when bad things are happening from His hand, when bad things are happening from the enemy's hand, when there are things that are happening that we don't know where they are coming from, if it's from the Lord or from the enemy, the bottom line and the foundation to that is, do you trust me? Do you trust me? So look at Philippians 4:4-8. Now, I don't claim to have a full understanding of this in the least. In fact, I have a long ways to go. And by the way, if you do ever go overseas, let me tell you, I just think it's a great, great opportunity, because you come into a place where you are completely aware, or I should say, more in a more complete sense, aware of your need for God. Every word you say, you are aware that you are inadequate. Every place you go is different. It is constantly in your face. And I was able to grow in this because I was constantly aware and alert to my need for God, my need for His presence. And that is, I think, the big thing with us, is being aware. We have these habits, we have these patterns of communicating. Are we going to continue in those? Well, we have to be alert to want to be changing them. And they're not going to change unless that happens, unless there's a focused effort at renewing our minds. Well, when you're overseas, it's easier to do that, I think, because you're in a different situation that is challenging and hard, and I think that's a lot of times where God brings difficulties, because they motivate us to change. It's right in our face. So anyway, okay. Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Where's the... I'm going to read from this. Philippians 4:3. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, the Lord tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again. Again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Consider it a joyful experience. Be joyful. When your car breaks down, be joyful. When someone insults you, be joyful. When someone hurts you, rejoice. Now, there's going to be a little bit of mental illness here that people will think that is occurring for you, unless you know, or unless they understand, and you understand something different, that these outside occurrences do not have to affect your inward joy, your inward peace. And that, I think, is where the Lord is leading in these end times. There's going to be all kinds of disaster around us. It's not just going to be, you know, someone cuts you off on the highway or your kids are irritating you. It's going to be major catastrophic situations, earthquakes, famines, military invasions, etc. All of these are prophesied. All of the imprisonment, very huge difficulties, disease, things that we don't understand. Can we rejoice in the midst of those? You know, and that's really, it comes down to, do we trust the Lord? Do we trust the Lord? This does not have to be a heavy burden. This, in fact, lightens the burden. We don't have to say, okay, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm going to rejoice. No. That's not the way this is at all. Rejoicing in the Lord is a mindset that changes the way we feel eventually, emotionally, but it gives us, there's a process to the peace that comes that he talks about later on. And the peace of Christ will dwell within you, or whatever. I'm not exactly sure on the wording, but. And the peace of Christ, a peace of God which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. But that rejoice. How about in everything give thanks? Is that in this passage?
That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16.
Thank you, thank you. Write that one down in your card. 1 Thessalonians 5.
16 to 18.
In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You wonder what God wants you to do in a situation? The first thing, give thanks. He's told us in everything. 16 through 18. In everything. Rejoice always.
Right.
There's... Okay, well... What about when the bad things happen? It's easy to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for the good blessings that he's given us. And I think that we need to cultivate that, because it's really easy to just forget to thank God, period. You know, thank you for the nice weather. Thank you for the food. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my relationships. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all these good things. This is so easy to see. What about the bad things? And that's where the real issue comes in. What about the bad things? Well, let's kind of look at these bad things. Not kind of, we'll just do it. There are the good things that we know didn't come from God. Someone sinned. We know God doesn't want them to sin. Someone sinned, and that sin hurt us. What about the bad thing where God is the one who brought the bad thing? Now, we don't like to hear that, and I think that that is something that we'll need to grapple with more as we even study end times, but that God is the one. The merciful, loving, kind God is the one who's going to be ushering in or orchestrating these events. Why? Because he is loving and kind, and he wants to bring us into his presence. He wants to refine us. He wants to love on us. He wants to bring us into the full relationship that he has for us. And he wants to get everyone's attention. The Lamb is the one who opens the seals in Revelation 6, 1. Not the Lion of Judah, the judging, fierce one, but the Lamb, the lover, the one who gave his life, the one who is fully qualified to say, I am a lover. I gave myself for you. And because I gave myself for you, I'm going to orchestrate some really, really hard events in your life to bring you into relationship with me deeper. So we've got the good thing, we've got the bad thing that comes from God, we've got the bad thing that doesn't come from God, and we've got the things that we don't know if they're from God or not. We know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Isn't that Romans 8:28? That's another one to write down. So, okay, this bad thing happened. I don't know if it's from God or not, but I know that in the end, God can receive the glory.
Right.
So let's talk about these different scenarios. What do we do about this? Rejoicing always. Again, I will say rejoice. Okay, because let's back up here. We are created to give glory to God. And that is when we will feel the most satisfied, fulfilled. We will feel like, wow, our lives, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And not that I have my relationship with God based on what I do. But I feel that peace, I feel great in my spirit when I am doing what God wants me to do and operating in the way that God wants me to operate. To give glory to God. That's why when we try and rob that glory, like Satan's done, call attention to ourselves or, you know, take credit for what God is doing. Let people think, oh, you're the great one, when it's really God. That is not going to bring the true fulfillment.
Right.
So who are we giving glory to? When we complain, we are saying, we are blaming God. We are saying, I don't trust you. I think you're bad. I think you are unloving. I don't want to cooperate with what's going on. Complaining really is robbing God of his rightful glory. Because God has said, I will cause all things to work together for good. He has said, rejoice always. He has said, in everything give thanks. He has given us these instructions. And so when we complain and we go into the opposite spirit, that's just coming against what God wants to do in the situation, and in fact, it can even stop what God is doing. I was in the church that we were in before. There was a lady who was very, very anointed in working with children, and there was a mini revival kind of going on with our neighborhood children. And I lived in the neighborhood that the church actually met. And one day before church, she was meeting with them, and they were having like a little praise time. And the kids were dancing and worshiping, and you know, that's really, really powerful. And it didn't always happen, especially even in the worship service, but they were dancing and they were praising God and they were in there. And these two other workers, children's workers, came in and they were just grumbling. How come? Oh, I'm so late. Da, 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 da. And you could just, she said, I wasn't there. She said, you could just feel the presence of God lift. Feel it lifting. This was such a precious thing where he was invited. He was being called on, and he was faithful. He was coming. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This is how you come into the presence of God, where all the healing and the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the love and the forgiveness and all of these things, this is the door to come in. And when the complaining is there, it's like bamming the door in God's face.
Exactly.
And that's what happened with her. It creates, I don't know if you've heard that when you're praying for someone for healing, you don't want doubt in the room,
exactly,
because it can stop what God's doing.
Exactly.
Well, complaining is the same way. It can stop what God wants to do. And that's something I feel like he just kind of dropped in me last night. Complaining is the opposite of praise.
Amen.
And giving glory to God. So we need to be really careful about what our mouths are doing. You know, we might have that complaining spirit. We might have agreed with it. And we still, when we feel like we want to complain and say something negative and grumble and whine, before it comes out of our mouths, like Sue said, that anger, I remember her saying that we don't have to speak. We can go, step back, break agreement with that complaining, and praise God and thank him instead. So, okay, let me get back to the So complaining is the opposite of praise. Speaking negatively. I remember being so sensitive to this that when I had some warm pop, and I said, oh, I don't like this. I was just like, oh, I just complained. Oh, God, I'm sorry. And it might be true that pop is warm, but we don't have to focus on that. It's where is our focus?
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing. When I came back from Ecuador, you know, there are different spirits over different locations.
Yep.
They have authority in different
yep.
places of the earth. And when I was in Ecuador, it was amazing. People did not complain there. Even when you would think they would really be tempted to. I remember we went up to this mountain. I was in this wilderness survival class, which was just kind of a joke because it was a new program. See, there I go complaining. Forgive me, Lord. I mean, it's true, though. It was hard because it was a new program. They had done it the year before in Peru, and so they knew all the laws about going into the jungle and all that. But then when they came to Ecuador, they didn't know what they were allowed to do and what they weren't. So we drove through the jungle in a car on a road and then stopped by the side of the road and looked at different plants because we also had biology. And it was just kind of not what we expected and not really what the course was designed to be. But we did go up to this mountain that was nearby, and we stayed in this cabin, and we had this fire going, and there was no place to release the smoke. And so the smoke all stayed in the house the whole night and asphyxiated us, you know? And it was just so, it was hard because I was kind of sick anyway. And so I was having to get up and go to the bathroom. And it was cold and wet and raining outside. And it was higher in elevation, so it was colder. And so there was the smoke inside where we couldn't sleep. And then there was the cold outside, so we would alternate. Breathing or being warm? Breathing or being warm? Breathing or being warm? What do you want? So that's the way it was all night. You know, the Ecuadorians who came with us did not complain. They did not say a word of complaint. It was amazing. Now they have their own pet sins, you know, lying, perhaps, just doing things to save face, where Americans will just tell you right to your face sometimes, you know, what they think, and, you know, there could be a kindness issue there too, but complaining. And I came back here and I saw how much more we have.
Yep.
How much we are blessed. Yes. Materially, and how little we thank God for it.
Yep.
Whereas these other people were positive and thankful and happy without, and even when they did have the opportunity to complain, they didn't. Amazing. Where was I going with that? I don't know. Yeah, good chasing of the rabbit.
Okay.
So, okay, well, in everything give thanks. That's one thing that I really was dwelling on. In everything give thanks. In everything, not for everything, in everything, in the midst of everything. But let me tell you, you know, I started giving thanks for everything. And that isn't what the scripture says, but I saw a powerful change in my life when I did that. And I don't have all the answers for that, exactly where to go with that. But for everything, thank you, God, that the bus is late. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do through it? What do you have for me that was different than what I planned? You know, when we start really living this, we find out that our agenda is not necessarily God's agenda.
Right.
We'll complain when our plans do not come about, when people aren't treating us properly, etc. Let's just go with the plans. The amoral issues where just circumstances have happened where we couldn't control them and we don't like what's going on. So how are we going to respond? In everything, give thanks. Perhaps we could even take it a step further and ask the Lord, would you want me to even be thankful for this? For the circumstance in my life right now? Well, let's see. God was not responsible if someone sinned. But now that someone has sinned against us and hurt us, will we be thankful for what God is going to do through it and trust Him? We have to deal with that issue. You're sovereign. You were not responsible, but you could have stopped this. You didn't. You are good anyway. You will turn it around for your glory.
Yep.
And say, God, I'm not glad that this person sinned against you, but I'm thankful that I can give you glory right now in my hurt and my pain. I can give you glory. I can tell you I trust you. That's the bottom line again. Do you trust me? He's asking it. Do you trust me? Even when you are hurting, even when I'm not responsible for the bad that happened and you don't understand why I didn't take that away from you or prevent it. Well, can we thank God when God is responsible? Now that's a huge step and very unpopular, I would say. And I think that we can go we can go in a wrong direction and give God credit for things that the enemy is doing or has done. We don't want to do that. But in the end times, it says right in Scripture in Joel 1:15 and Revelation 6:1, God is the one who is orchestrating the catastrophes. And people are going to have to make a choice, a very clear choice. Are you going to worship God and trust Him and belong to Him in this time of crisis where the crisis was brought on by the loving God? Are you going to believe He's loving and kind? Or are you going to say, I hate you because you are doing these things? Who will receive glory there? The day of the Lord will come as destruction from the Almighty, is what Joel 1:15 says. Yep. Destruction from the Almighty. Will you give Him glory in those times? Now, the concept that I'm talking about is discussed in Hebrews 13:15 and in Psalm, 116:17. This is what is called the sacrifice of praise. And it, if you let it get a hold of you, it will just restructure a lot of the way that you communicate. At least it did for me. The sacrifice of praise. Because it costs something to be thankful in a situation that is difficult. It costs you. It is a sacrifice. It's not something that is easy that God is asking. Will you sacrifice this to me? Will you sacrifice Thanksgiving to me? Will you sacrifice trust? Will you sacrifice and lay down your agenda and lay down your right to understand, like Pastor Harvey said? And will you trust me? And will you thank me and praise me in the middle of this? Hebrews 13:15. Let's just look at it. By Him, therefore, by Him. He's got to be doing this in our lives. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit, the result of giving thanks to His name, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, is a sacrifice of praise.
Excellent.
It's like in Psalm 100, verse 5, Pastor Sue was just telling me this morning when I called her, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Okay, that's the first step. And then as a result, as a fruit of that, you will start to praise Him.
Yep.
And you will be in His presence there. What kind of things can happen in God's presence?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got to come in. You've got to come in the gate. Make the sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise by thanking God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. I don't understand. I don't have to. Bless you comes next. I bless you. I praise you. I'm thanking you. I'm praising you. Whoosh! God's presence comes and He does all kinds of mighty and wonderful things. Changes our hearts. That's huge. That's a miracle.
Exactly.
Okay, but Philippians 4:4-8. I've just talked basically about the first verse. But you know, what are you going to do then with these hard issues, these bad things that happen, these inconveniences even, amoral issues, or the sin, the big things? What are you going to do with these things? Okay, I'm going to make a decision to rejoice. I'm rejoicing. Thank you, God. Even for this, I know you will work it out for my good.
Yep.
But you know what? I don't like it. I really don't like what's going on. And you can't pretend that you like it. You can thank God for it and trust Him to work it out. But you're not pretending that you like it. And I think that's where, see, that's where I was confused with the missionaries in Ecuador. I was thinking that they liked all the difficulties. It's like, why aren't you talking about them? What's wrong with you? Don't you see that these are bad things? Yes, we see these are bad things. But we do not like them. And we don't have to pretend with God that we like what's going on.
Exactly.
And that's really good, because I think that's where religion comes in sometimes. You know, we just pretend that everything's okay, that we don't mind. I think that maybe even some people's personalities would say, oh, well, we don't mind. It's okay. You know, you were just rude to me. Oh, it's okay. I'll just, you know, I won't be offended. Well, you do mind, and then you bury it, and it comes out in this huge monster later on. No, God says, He gives us a solution, and it's so good. It's so good because it brings His peace in verse 7. What is His solution? In everything. 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 By prayer and supplication with
thanksgiving.
Yes. Let your requests be made known to God. Not your dictators, not your dictation of what you think needs to happen. Your request. This is how you come into the presence of the Almighty. You are coming in to the presence of the King of Kings, whose very full manifest presence would kill us all if He were right here. Because we have sinned. And we are not, we have mortal bodies. So how do you come into His presence? With an issue that you have, with a pain that you have, a hurt that you have, an inconvenience that you have. God, thank you, praise you. Here's the issue. Prayer. Supplication. God, I don't want to see my city destroyed. I praise you. I thank you that you are in control and that you will work it out. I thank you for what you're going to do in my life through this. I bless you because you are trustworthy, God. But I don't want to see this happen, God. I'm laying this at your feet. I'm asking you to change the course of history. I'm asking you to do something here. I'm thanking you for what you're going to do. I'm thanking you for whatever you're going to do.
That I can trust you.
And then what comes? I mean, if your city's going to be invaded, like the illustration I just used, I could see us kind of wound up, kind of stirred up. That peace is going to come.
Right.
The peace will come then. And people will say, what? What's this? I have no framework for this kind of peace. To see the people of God operating in this, operating in thankfulness, in praise, in supplication and prayer, and then more thankfulness with the thankfulness just surrounding them. The world cannot comprehend this kind of peace. And when the world is in turmoil and full of complaining and full of pain, and they see that kind of peace, it's like a light shining. What is the verse? What is the verse? There's, I think I wrote that down too. I'm not sure if I gave it to you. As we shine as lights in the universe. Oh, yeah, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do everything without grumbling and complaining so that you may be as lights in a dark universe or something like that. Do all things without grumbling or complaining so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. You can't help but stand out when you really get a firm hold of what it is to thank and praise the Lord in everything, entering His gates, living there, but not just staying there, supplicating him, praying, asking his will, asking him to change where he is willing to change, and being thankful for what he's doing. This is revolutionary. This is key. This is key to end times. It's key
exactly.
to all of our Christianity. It's foundational.
Exactly.
And it's found throughout all the Psalms. David had a very clear understanding, and that is why he had victory
exactly.
in battle. He used praise as a weapon. There is a whole nother teaching to talk about where praise is a weapon. That's, I gave you the verse on that. Psalm 116, verse 17, let the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hand to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with iron or something to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the privilege or the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. We have the privilege to praise him in the midst of difficulty. We have the privilege, and it is
yep.
a weapon, and the enemy cannot stand against it, and he cannot stand it.
Right.
Have you heard about the Dutch, have you guys ever mentioned Dutch Sheets? He was in Mexico, and he was, doing some work there, whatever. And he would go back completely exhausted to his hotel room at night. And he went back one time, and there were these three demons that just stepped in the room. And he's like, I do not have the energy to deal with you. And he went to sleep. And then the next night, the same thing happened. I just don't have the energy to deal with these. And the third night, he was walking home. He's like, Lord, are those three demons going to show up again tonight? He's like, well, you're finally asking me about it. This is good. He said, well, Lord, what do you want me to, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to plead the blood over the place. No, I think he said that. I don't remember exactly how it was. He said,
don't plead it over the outside. He said, wait till you get inside and then
plead it
over so they can't leave.
So they can't leave. So then demons come in. He pleads the blood. They can't leave. He's like, oh, man, I'm stuck in here because nothing goes in and nothing goes out when you plead the blood over an
right.
area. He's like, well, Lord, what do you want me to do now? Put on that praise tape that I have you listening to. So he puts on the praise tape, and those demons couldn't get out, and they had to listen to that, and he saw them tormented for that whole tape, bouncing off the walls, just screeching. He said it was hilarious. He was laughing, just carrying on. He's like, when it got done, he said, Lord, do you want me to flip it over? And he said, no, you may release them now. Praise is a weapon. Praise inflicts vengeance on the enemy. Why do you think the enemy counterfeits? Or actually he uses the, like, in some forms of music, the musicians are demonized and their music is like, it brings you into that realm of where the enemy can do things, it brings authority. The enemy was the worship leader in heaven. He knows the power of music. He knows the power of praise. And he wants it for himself. When we complain, we're saying, I don't trust you, God. I don't think that you are good. You are taking away glory from the Lord. So, praise is a weapon.
Right.
Praise is a weapon. And what was it? Who went and put the Levites in the front of the army to praise? It wasn't Joshua. Was it Joshua? Yeah, I'll have to look that up. There was maybe, I thought it was Gideon, maybe. Jehoshaphat. Yeah, okay. Yep. Put the praise Put the worship team right in the front of the army. That's the strategy that the Lord gave them for that particular battle.
Yep.
Completely had victory because praise is a weapon.
Exactly.
You know, it occurs to me, it's concerning to me that there's so much complaining in the church, in our country. What kind of authority does that give the enemy?
There you go.
What kind of ambiance? What kind of atmosphere? You know, a lot of times I've come into church, here, other places, wherever, and I have not felt like physically demonstrating my praise to the Lord. In fact, most times I don't. Now, that's, and I don't think that we're ever really in a place where we feel like emotionally in our souls, in our hearts, we don't feel like thanking God for hard things. But then we make a choice. This is a choice of the will. This is a concentrated effort. Are we going to choose to follow God and to do what is a command in the Scripture, to praise Him? Are we going to enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? Are we going to do this? Yes. When we say yes, and we take a step, and we have an attitude change, we maybe speak something that is going to bless Him, it's powerful. Then the presence of God can come and He can be free to do what He wants in the situation.
Amen.
When you complain about the situation, He's not free to do what He wants, because the first issue is, are you going to trust me?
Right.
Are you going to trust me? Because if you're not going to trust me, I've got to prove that I'm trustworthy in the situation. So I can't even take this away from you. I've got to prove that I'm trustworthy in this situation. Okay, you trust me? You're thanking me? Now let's get down to business. This is what you prayed about. Okay, now I can deal with this situation. It's almost like with children. Okay, are they going to argue with you when they disagree with you? Or are they going to submit to your authority and appeal to you? Very fine line. It's a, okay, Mom, would you mind if I finish the game? I'm almost done. Okay, I just called you to dinner. Okay, Mom, coming. As you are obeying, as you are coming, Mom, did you know that I am just about done with this game? I have about one more minute. Would you mind if I did this? Well, that's an appeal to authority. That's not an argument. That's an appeal. So, okay, I can, that's fine. I can wait a minute. But if the submission isn't there, if there's an immediate argument, see, then it's not an appeal.
Right.
Okay. Come to dinner, please. Oh, can I just finish this game? No, I said to come.
Right.
The issue is obedience now. The issue is, are you going to do what I've said? Are you going to have a proper relationship with me? I am an authority, and you are to submit. I can't say, oh, sure, go ahead. If I do, then I am teaching that arguing is okay. It's the
right.
same with complaining.
Exactly.
It's the same with complaining with God.
Exactly.
If we're able to say, okay, God, I trust you. This bad thing is going on. I trust you. Thank you. Could you please do something about it? It's hurting me. Instead of saying, I'm so disgusted, God, I can't believe you're doing this. Do something about it. It's different. God's got to respond differently to your prayer. He's got to focus first on the trust issue, the foundation. Do you have your foundations right with God? Are you going to trust Him? Are you in proper relationship with Him? Okay, you are. Great. Let's go for it. So, praise as a weapon. Oh, you know what? I've given you a lot of scriptures, but you know what? You can go through the book of Psalms, and you can look and you can see wherever it says Zion, wherever it says tent of meeting, tabernacle, that is where the praise was going on. And you know, that's where David got his battle plans. There was a constant atmosphere of praise in the tent and in the tabernacle where David created this. The Levites, they were constantly worshiping 24/7. And David would go in, I can't wait to come into your house, he would say. I can't wait to come into the house of the Lord, where your presence is, where the thankfulness is, where the praise is. I can sit and I can get my battle plans. I can worship you. I can take whatever problem I have and I can come in into this atmosphere of praise. Because then your presence is there. Your presence is so powerful, right in the midst of the praise.
Amen.
Right in the midst of the praise. You know, I would rather spend one day in the house of my God, in His presence, in the atmosphere of praise, than 1,000 outside.
Exactly.
Than 1,000 outside. There's nothing like His presence. Apply that to coming into church. You know, there is something powerful with when a group of God's people come together,
yep,
to praise the Lord. Come together. They sacrifice their praise. They have their thanksgiving. They come into His presence. A lot of times it's through singing. A lot of times it's through worship and song. His presence comes. It's powerful. He can heal. He can do miracles there. In the house of the Lord, where there's a group of people doing that, I want to challenge you, when you come to this place, where there are a group of people, and we're ready to praise the Lord and thank Him and enter into worshiping Him, to come in and to say, I don't feel like it, but that's not the issue. The issue is, are you worthy? Do I trust you? I'm bringing the issues that are on my mind before you right now. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Worship you, God. I want to be one of the people who brings in the atmosphere where God can work.
Exactly.
Where God can do what He wants to do and get what He wants to get out of our meeting together.
Amen.
If we sit back and say, nothing, or say, I really don't feel like it. I don't feel like worshiping the Lord today. I don't feel like thanking Him. Well, that's really not going to change. You're never going to feel like it.
Exactly.
It is an act of the will. It is a decision. It is a mindset change. Are we going to operate in this? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Morning.